Support for Let's Eat comes from Bombs Natural Foods. More than just supplements, Bombs offers massages, ion cleanses, a juice bar, and an educated staff for all of your questions. Bombs Natural Foods, with locations in Merrillville, Highland, and BombsNaturalFoods.com. NIPSCO supports Lakeshore Public Radio because a little information can be a huge help. Sign up for NIPSCO alerts to receive updates on your account, including power outage status updates via text, email, or phone. Learn more at NIPSCO.com/alerts. Program consideration comes from Lithographic Communications. Lithographic Communications, located in Munster, has been providing both printing and mailing services locally since 1988. More information is available at 219-924-9779.
It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Hey, good afternoon, Lakeshore listeners. We're sitting here in Merrillville at our Lakeshore studios. Sitting here with my buddy Sharon Jackson. How you doing, Sharon?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Everyone's joining us here on Let's Eat on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. And today we got a great show, like all the other shows, don't we, Sharon?
We do. Always.
Always. So what's going on in the community? Anything special?
Well, at long last, finally tomorrow, the National Association of the Letter Carriers Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive. Now, this is a nationwide thing, but, you know, Northwest Indiana is also doing it. And I had the coordinator for the Merrillville Gary post office reach out to me and was talking about their participation. So
how we get involved
in
that?
I had a good conversation. Well, I did a story on it.
No, but how do we get involved as?
How do we get involved? Of course. Well, you just put, you know, a food donation, a couple things, some canned goods, non-perishable.
No euros?
In a
I can't
bag.
Put a euros in a...
You know, I think that would be really good. Some people might really appreciate that, but the directions say...
Okay, tell me.
...to, you know, do the canned goods or non-perishable food items.
Okay.
So maybe Steve's beer. I don't know if that's non-perishable. That's probably
if it's,
not.
If it's all if it's all sealed up, it is.
Yeah.
So you just put it right into the...
put it in a bag, put it up by your mailbox.
Okay.
And they're good to go. And then the carrier does the rest. They transport the rest of the food.
And who's it go for, you said again?
You know, food banks around here.
So they just distribute it.
Yeah, because they distribute it, but this is also the time when... food banks are starting to deplete.
Okay.
And kids, you know, they get out of school, and sometimes if they're not in school, they don't get in on the school meal programs, obviously, because they're not in school. So this is a really good time. And they're depleted from, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, because people donate a lot around that time.
Exactly.
And then over time, obviously, they deplete. So that's one thing that's going on. And then, of course, there's... The Indiana Dunes National Park, still getting used to saying that, they're offering guided hikes through Miller Woods the 19th, 26th of May, and even the 12th, which is Mother's Day this Sunday, 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. And, you know, these hikes, they offer, you know, rare oak black savanna. You walk through, like, a lot of different kinds of... you know, ecosystems, intradunal ponds, you know, the big sand dunes that offer the really nice views of the lake
this is in
Chicago.
Miller?
Is it? It's at the Indiana Dunes National Park. Okay. It starts from the Paul H. Douglas Center.
Okay.
The hike is on some newly named trail that I think it's the Paul H. Douglas Trail, too.
That sounds cool.
Something
like
that.
That sounds actually fun.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
People
very
live
fun.
Around here, they don't realize what a national treasure we have out there. When I go out there, I'm at all. I look out there at the lake, and it's like, it looks like an ocean, like
I know.
Sea.
Seriously.
I'm totally at all. And we live right next to it. And really, the only time I get a sense of it is when the wind comes off the lake, and I feel it, and I can actually smell the lake.
I can actually
smell it from far
away. Where?
From Crown Point.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'm a little dog. I got a little dog in me.
Yeah, you got quite a sniffer there.
Yeah, it's a little. I got a little shepherd in me or something.
I love that.
But I can feel it. I can tell the difference when it's coming off the lake.
That's nice.
So any thing going on with you this weekend? Anything special? Just a lot of work, probably, huh?
You know, my yard's starting to show. Some weeds are starting to crop up now that the rain is gone and the sun is out. Work and weeds and just stuff like Mother's Day, of course.
Of course.
Big time.
Everyone's got to remember
I've already
that.
Gotten my
Sunday.
Mother's Day presents out.
Okay. Well,
I've already
can't
had
say
them delivered.
Anything, it
no.
could be a spoiler right now.
Well, yeah, they're not going to hear it.
Last
so
night
I can
I
tell
went,
you.
Last night
what about
to,
you?
Last night I went to Crown Point and my daughter received a small little scholarship from Crown Point High School, not from the school, but from one of the participating
nice.
People that give out scholarship. It was kind of an emotional. I didn't expect
Congratulations
this.
I've to never. Your daughter. What's her name?
Alexis. And it wasn't emotional because of her. I mean, I got emotion when she got it because she's my little girl, and now I can't believe she's graduating. But just the stories that were told, you know, these scholarships and how they came about them, and the people, you know, that they're named after, and mm-hmm. I mean, it was emotional. One minute I really was all choked up, and then next minute you're feeling happy, and next minute you're choked up. I was exhausted when I left that place.
Emotionally exhausted.
I was just
left to physically exhausted.
Oh gosh.
You know.
But you know, it was a good time. Hey.
Yeah.
So who are we visiting this week?
Visiting Crown Brewing.
Crown Brewing. Well, let's take a walk.
Yeah, taking a walk.
Did you get the Model T already to travel?
Are you kidding?
You didn't fix the car.
It's fine.
It's fine. Did you put gas in the tank?
It's fine, Nick.
Don't tell me it's fine. I don't think you put gas in the tank.
I did. Wait, there you go. See? Proving you wrong. We're going to be underway here.
You going to drive?
Oh, yeah.
You know how to drive a stick shift?
I'm an expert driver.
You know how to drive a stick shift?
Yeah. I learned back in the 90s.
In the 90s? Well, this is like a 1934 Model T.
Practicing on a Geo Metro back in the day.
Well, I hope we don't, like, disrupt everyone at Crown Brewery because this Model T is kind of loud.
Okay, I think, hey, we're here.
We're here. Well, let's go visit
nice.
Steve. Steve!
Friends, hello.
How you doing? Today we have Steve, and he's from Crown Brewery. He's the brewmeister at Crown Brewery, and he's one of my favorite brewmeister. He's like become a buddy of mine because I've had him on a couple times in the last couple years. Sharon, you've had him on.
Yeah, he's like
yeah.
the wizard.
Great
yeah.
guy.
He's like a regular here now.
That's mm-hmm. right, and he's got all the knowledge mm-hmm. of brewing beer and making pop.
Yeah, making soda. Non-alcoholic.
That's awesome.
So, but you know what? Steve brought in something a little extra special for us today.
Oh, yeah.
And he brought us some tickets to the
Crown Beer Fest.
And it's a huge event. Where are they having it this year?
It's always at the Lake County Fairgrounds.
Okay.
This happens to be our 10th anniversary already. We're celebrating our 11th anniversary next month.
Congratulations.
So it was a year after we opened, we started doing a beer fest at the Lake County Fairgrounds, expecting about 2,500 people or
That's
so
crazy.
To show up. It sounds like a lot of people, but it's never that crowded. We actually
really?
Spread it out really good, take a good portion of the outside, and have it in two separate buildings.
And you were generous enough to bring 6 pairs of tickets.
Correct.
And actually, folks that are listening out there at you know, our Radio Land, 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio, with me and Sharon on Let's Eat. Karen's my wife's name. I'm sorry,
Oh,
Sharon.
Okay. That's all right.
But these tickets, folks, the pair of them with taxes and everything come out to about $100.
They're $40 general admission tickets, and we have 12 of them to give away. So you might want to give out a phone number.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to give them out as pairs.
Sure.
Okay. We're going to give them out as pairs, and what we want you to do is call in. And Steve's going to ask you a beer question.
Not too hard.
Not too hard. Not too hard at all.
Simple questions.
And if you get it right, we will send you out 2 tickets to the Crown Beer Fest.
That's easy. Just answer a question about beer.
Okay. And the phone number here is 769-9577. That's 769-9577. And on top of that, we're going to kick in another gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery. In Winfield. Now, what times are the fest?
We have VIP tickets, which start an hour before general admission.
Is that what you have here?
No, these are general admission tickets. The VIP tickets get you in an hour early, and you're going to get to sample all the wares before the general public does come in. So those go a little bit pricier, but the general admission starts at 2:30, and it goes till 6 o'clock. There's going to be 7 local food vendors there, and we're going to have over 50 breweries.
Wow.
And each brewery is going to bring anywhere from 2 to maybe 6 or 8 beers. So we're talking a lot of beer to try. You're going to find something you like.
Sure.
You guys already have somebody who wants to try to win these tickets.
Oh, boy.
Duke from Crown Point.
Hi, Duke.
Hey, Steve, I'm actually there every Thursday, so you can get real specific with the Crown Brewery question.
You got a question for Duke?
Well, you know, I was going to say, if you could name the 4 ingredients that are in beer, we'll give you a pair of tickets.
All right, let's see. We got hops, Yeah, water. Are you going to say something?
No, you're doing good so far. You're halfway there.
Right.
Hops and water. And then we also have other things in there.
What other two items are in beer?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute.
Oh, you're Googling this, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Hop, yeast, water, and grain.
That's it.
Wow. All right. Ding, ding, ding. So what we're going to do is we're going to send you a couple tickets to the Crown Brew Fest in Crown Point. How's that sound?
It sounds great. I've been there every year for the past 5 years.
And now this time, Steve's giving it to you on the house.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, I like it. Those are the best kind.
You have any other questions for me or Steve?
Yeah, you know what, Steve? In years past, you guys have kind of had more barrel-aged selections around Black Friday and all of that.
Yeah.
Have you guys kind of gone away with that in terms of, with the craft brew scene kind of blowing up? Have you seen the prices for those, bourbon barrels pick up? Or what's going on with that?
No,
that's my favorite.
Specifically with the bourbon barrels, they've actually become more available. The price has remained basically the same, maybe a little bit more. But pretty much every brewery, and there's over 7,000 breweries in America right now.
That's crazy. There's never
been more in the history of our country.
So all we had to do is go around with one shot glass, and that's all we did. One shot at a time, we'll be there.
Yeah, so they're widely available, and pretty much every one of these 7,000 breweries is going to be doing a barrel-aged beer of some kind. We were specializing in that for a long time. We rented out, if you still see the sign in our parking lot of the Beer Vault.
Right.
We were in the old Lake County Title Building basement where we had a pretty vast barrel age program. At one point, I think I had close to 50 barrels aging beer. It became overwhelming. And for a brewery that's small, like our size, we have a 7-barrel brewery, which is about 200 gallons. It became very difficult to try and keep 15 to 18 beers on tap at the pub and then run a barrel program. So we kind of got away with that. We still do barrel aging. We usually do our major releases on Black Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving. I have some aging in the brewery right now, which will be coming out probably next week because it starts to get too warm in the brewery for the aging of process of beer. But we're going to be getting some Journeyman distillery barrels out of Michigan, and we can easily transport those because they're a smaller size, and we could actually do some barrel aging in the summertime in our various walk-in coolers then.
How's that sound? Did he answer your question?
Yeah, that sounds awesome because I know that in years past, Steve, so what's the difference between Heaven Hill barrel and then, Journeyman, all of that?
Yeah.
I know that the Puba has traditionally been in Heaven Hill for a while.
Yeah, our Grand Puba Russian Imperial Stout is one of the best sellers, and those types of beers age very well in wood. And it is, you're right, the difference between a Heaven Hill bourbon or a Journeyman Featherbone barrel, you're going to have subtle nuances, and it's really neat to see how they come out every year.
All right, perfect.
Okay, well, thanks for calling in. I hope to hear from you again.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Duke. See you Thursday.
Hey, have a great weekend.
You too.
I don't understand what you just said, so can you go ahead and break that down again?
There's many different whiskey producers. When they're done with aging their whiskey for usually a minimum of 3 years, they drain that, and then that wood is, they don't reuse it. Some of them actually get shipped to Scotland where they make Scotch whiskey. Mm-hmm. And they don't mind in Scotland reusing American barrels. But especially if you're in Bourbon County, it's one and done. And then breweries pick them up all around the country, and we're aging beers into those wooden casks.
To suck up some of that flavor of the
bourbon. Yeah, you get a lot of flavor transfer. And
do you get alcohol transfer?
You get minute amounts.
Okay.
Usually they're dry and drained, but there's still going to be some of that trapped in the pores of the wood, and that's very little, if any. You might get some evaporation, which is also called the angel's share.
Okay.
You'll get some evaporation if you do a longer aging period, which might help increase the alcohol content too.
Well, we have Steve from Crown Brewery here in the studio today, and he's got tickets to the Crown Brew Fest. He's giving out pairs of tickets, and a pair of tickets is about $100. All you got to do is call in 769-9577. 769-9577. And you know what? And Steve's going to ask you a beer question. If you get it right, you get the tickets, plus you get a $10 gift card from Chef Nick's Eatery. Because it stops at 6, you might still be hungry, so you can come by the restaurant and get something to eat.
Yeah, we're really excited about our 10th anniversary of Crown Beer Fest, too, this year. We we've learned a lot over the years, and we've perfected and streamlined operations.
To the point where you're just laying in a hammock.
It makes it easier. So, you know, as the years have gone by, we're all like looking at each other like, what are we missing? Like,
yeah,
you know,
this you're not
this
doing it right.
Harder than before planning.
You know, let me ask you about those barrels that the bourbon barrels at eight. Now you fill it up with beer. Can't you just sell that barrel to someone like that, all with the beer and everything in there?
Oh,
are they
that
huge?
Be something? You know, they are 53-gallon barrels.
Oh wow!
So,
okay, they're not little ones like
they're well
the pirates have,
pounds.
You know, on their like that.
You can get different smaller sizes like uh-huh. that, but you know the beer loses its carbonation when it's aging,
uh-huh.
and it's also getting warm.
Okay.
So what we usually do is after a certain period of time, as little as 3 months, as maybe as long as a year in that barrel, we're going to then drain that back into stainless steel half barrels,
okay.
where we're going to chill it down, and then we'll have to recarbonate it.
Well, for people that haven't visited with us before and never visited with Steve, why don't you give us a little bit about your personal background? And
okay, well, we'll talk about our building that we're in first. It is we're in the old boiler house of the old Lake County Jail.
Okay.
The claim to fame is that's where Dillinger escaped from. And
from that one, not the one next to it?
We're basically the cells were right in behind us, basically.
Okay, right.
Yeah. So we're in the what was the boiler house that supplied steam heat to all the jail cells. So we're in a really neat historic building,
mm-hmm.
Lots of history there. So we run in a 7-barrel, 200-gallon brew house. We got a big thing coming up next month, too. It's going to be Crown Brewing's 1,000th batch of beer coming up.
Really?
That means I've brewed 1,000 times on this system already. It's funny how time goes by. So we don't even know what we're going to do yet. We're going to plan some kind of fancy beer to make, I would think. Maybe something barrel aged where serve part of it right away after it ages, and then maybe age some of it in a bourbon barrel to release at a later date.
And how many gallons does a vat make?
We're doing about 200 gallons in a batch. So we're pretty small, but it sounds like a lot.
That does sound like a lot.
If compared to Budweiser, they have tanks that hold 2,000 barrels.
So, you know, you're in this old building over there. Does it cause any kind of a problem?
No, not really. We have excellent drainage, excellent ventilation, and those are the two main important things in a brewery. So we're good.
I mean, how's the air conditioning? All that works really
well.
Well,
we don't have air conditioning in the brewery, unfortunately.
No,
but I have a garage door that opens up and lets
I know
a nice
I visited
breeze
you
in.
There. You can, folks, if you drive by there, you can. And the garage door is open, you can peek in and see all the the vats.
You'll see me wearing my boots and just say hi.
So is this your dream come true? Your life's dream job?
The story that I may have told on the air before is. How you know, everybody asks, how did you get involved in brewing?
That was my next question.
Yes. So you're
looking at my notes.
My father was a school teacher
and
a beer can collector in the 70s. Everybody collected beer cans in the 70s, it seemed like. And so our family vacations used to be touring breweries, and every brewery we would go to, he would get cans for his collection. Now, back in the 70s, there weren't microbreweries and brew pubs and craft breweries.
Right.
These were all fairly large industrial-sized breweries, and it just left a huge impression on me as a young boy pulling up and, you know, you're parked down the block from the brewery and you could smell the wort boiling, and then you're taking a tour and there's these tanks that go up to this, you know, through the ceiling, and it's a cold room and it smells like beer. And to me, the brewmaster was the guy in the white lab coat, you know, with a clipboard taking tank readings and telling people what to do and make sure that's clean and do better at that. So I was like, that's what I was going to do. So
when did you decide that?
Well, actually, I decided
after your first sip of beer?
I decided that when I was about 7 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember specifically having like an epiphany moment where I was at a brewery in Eau Claire, Wisconsin called Walters. And the brewmaster was giving the tour, and he was a big, burly German guy with a big beard and suspenders. And he's giving the tour, and he looks at his watch, and he's like, oh, it's time to add the hops. Hey, kid, come here. And he hands me this bushel of hops, and he's like, climb the ladder and dump these in. And he's holding me by the seat of the pants so I don't fall into this vat of boiling liquid.
That would be terrible.
And I remember dumping this bushel of hops into this boiling wort, and the smell hit me. And it was just like, you know what? When I grow up, I'm going to be a brewmaster.
That's crazy.
So freshman year, you sit down with your guidance counselor in high school, and he said, so, Mazalewski, what do you want to do with your life? And I said, I want to be a brewmaster. And so he, looking into it, he said, take as much math, chemistry, and biology as you can, because that's very important.
That's crazy that he would actually lock into that and tell you what you had to
do. Yeah, and I was saving my money to attend the Siebel Institute of Technology, which is a world-renowned beer school in Chicago, Illinois. They've been teaching how to make beer since 1871 or two, right after the Chicago fire, basically.
Wow.
So for the longest period of time, you either went to Munich, Germany to learn how to make beer, where you better speak fluent German because they don't have English classes, or you went to Chicago, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
So I was saving my money to attend Siebel when a little brewery in my hometown of Berwyn, Illinois, had the first brew pub in the suburbs of Chicago. And I had taken
And that's what we call a microbrewery, right? That used to be called. Now they don't even call them microbrewery.
They just call it craft breweries, okay. Basically, now. Okay. Well, we're all doing the same thing, yeah. Whether you have a pub or not.
Okay.
And I took a tour days after turning 21, and the owner basically hired me on the spot the next day. Wow. Just giving him my story. And I started as an assistant apprentice for about 6 years part-time, and I've been doing it full-time since 1995.
Wow.
Wow.
So when did you have your first taste of beer?
Oh, it was probably around eighth grade or so, where when Jimmy Carter legalized home brewing in 1977. Up until then, it was illegal. Most people don't realize that.
I did not realize.
You would be arrested and thrown into jail for making beer up until 1977. And my father and I think the janitor from his school actually bought a beer kit, and they wanted to make their own beer. And I think they added like extra sugar to fortify the alcohol content or something, and it turned out not very drinkable, mm-hmm. and it sat in our basement for a number of years, and it was not going anywhere. And I think actually the first sip of beer I had was probably my dad's first and only homebrew.
Oh wow! So it wasn't that.
And it wasn't very good, but I can remember feeling good from it.
Oh really? It had a high alcohol content.
It did, yeah.
Folks, call in 769-9577, 769-9577. Steve from Crown Brewery's here, and he's got tickets to the Crown Brew Fest. And he's giving them away as pairs, and each pair is about $100.
I think they're $40 general admission tickets, so it's about $80.
About $80 each. We could say it's $100, can't we say? Well, it's $80 each, which is a great value. And all you got to do is call in 769-9577, and Steve, our brewmaster here, will give you a beer question. You answer it, and we give you a couple tickets. It's a great time. What's the date on that?
It's June 15th, which is Father's Day weekend. So what a great gift to get your dad or your husband or something. It's the Saturday before Father's Day. Hang out at Lake County Fairgrounds. The weather's going to be, of course, gorgeous that day.
So you got 50 craft breweries in there.
Yeah, over 50 breweries are coming to attend. And
not all just in Indiana. It's all from the area?
We get Illinois, Michigan, and some distributed beer. But most of our beer fest is the local people sending representatives of their brewery. Some of the beer fests you go to these days really seem like the distributor shows up with Samuel Adams and Leinenkugel's and all these national branded beers, and you don't get to meet the people who are actually behind the scenes of the whole process. And that's what's cool about our beer fest is, you know, it's usually the brewers or the owners or somebody that, you know, the assistant brewers that are there, and you could actually talk to them and ask them questions about their beer and try their wares. And a lot of times people bring some really cool stuff that's not available at their locations, mm-hmm. where they'll bring something just for the fest that you might not be able to get, or something that's extra special or extra aged or something like that.
I would think that these mom and pop beers that aren't local, that nationally produced, that would be kind of more special. You get more unique flavors and beers and things.
And it's usually done in a smaller scale too. So we even have a pilot brewery. So we have our 7-barrel brew house, but we also have a 1-barrel brewery where we do experimental beers or mm-hmm. one-offs or things that we want to try out. And then if they turn out really well, we can upscale them onto the bigger system. So we do a lot of that throughout the year.
What do you do when you – how big is this experimental vat?
It's a 1-barrel batch. So we're basically making 2 half barrels.
Okay. So – if it doesn't work, you just dump it?
No, it always works out. I mean, it's sometimes not as expected, but it's not dumpable. You know, we're not going to go too crazy or extreme on some of these things, but we will we'll like to try different recipes and different batches or small things.
You know, there's a lot of people out there, or a lot of kids probably listening to you and saying, you know what, I'd like to be a brewmaster. Is there a lot of school? You talked about the school. Is there a lot of certificates? Or is there a lot of, like in a restaurant, we got to get certified every 5 years? For the health department.
Yeah.
Is there those kind of things going on in your world?
Not necessarily. No, it's really, you need to know what you're doing. That's why most people start off as home brewers, and they, you know, perfect their processes and their recipes, and then they want to take the gamble and go big scale or open your own or mm-hmm. go work for a brewery. The best way to do it is home brewing. That's the practical part of it. You can go to school for it and get a degree in brewing, but you don't get the practicality of hands-on training. That's probably one of the most important things.
So you're saying it's really ongoing training?
It's ongoing training. And being an assistant apprentice for 6 years, I learned the ropes that way. I actually never fully attended Siebel Institute. I've taken like symposium courses and and small things like that there. But it's also not cheap,
right?
To go to a university and get a degree in anything. So
when you're going to school there, you guys are brewing and you're actually drinking and.
Oh, sure. That's a big part of it is try
it.
What
kind of class is that?
Yeah. I remember I went there one time to Siebel Institute to I think we were getting yeast from them or something. And they were literally like everybody was around drinking Belgian beers, Belgian beers that you can't even get in America. It was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have somebody else who wants some tickets is ready to take
a
little challenge. Shelby from Crown Point.
Shelby, you ready? You ready, Shelby?
I am.
Get ready.
All right, Shelby. I'll make this easy. So
yeah, it's a girl. Be easy on her.
Thank you.
We already discussed the four ingredients of beer, which is hops, yeast, malted barley, and water. What is the main ingredient of those four in beer? It's one of the four.
And, it's one of the four, and probably the chemical.
So the choices are again
water, hops, malted barley, or yeast. Beer is 95% of this ingredient.
Sort of like what your body is.
Water.
There you go.
Ding, 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 ding.
You got it, Shelby.
Shelby, you got it.
Woohoo!
And we actually source our water from Lake Michigan, luckily enough.
That's why I love your guys' beer so much. That's so awesome.
So, Shelby, you got any questions for Steve?
I do. When does the pumpkin beer come back out?
Pumpkin beer should be out the...
Wait.
Oh,
Steve,
yeah.
We haven't gotten into the warm weather yet.
Yeah, our pumpkin beer is probably our most... favorite seasonal from everybody.
Really?
Yeah. Most likely we will be out the Friday before Labor Day.
Really?
Yeah.
So,
that soon, really?
We usually do, we try and get it canned and have cans available before then, and then we will release it. We also do a really neat pumpkin bash at the fairgrounds as well. If you've ever been to that, Shelby, we've done that last 2 years running.
Maybe you can come back and bring tickets.
I haven't
yeah,
been.
And it's a family-friendly event too, which is really nice. You could bring your kids. There's clowns and face painting and balloon animals, and there's bands playing, and of course, lots of pumpkin ale.
So who do you gonna bring with you, Shelby?
Probably James.
Okay. And you guys go, and then maybe afterwards you can go by Chef Nick Cedar. I'm going to send you some gift cards to that, too.
Absolutely. I hope he's listening right now. He should be listening.
Oh, I hope he's listening, too. Well, maybe he shouldn't be. It could be a good surprise for him, too. You know what?
I know. And
with the pumpkin beer, let me ask you this, Steve.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you guys give like a little whipped cream with that?
Oh, you know what? We in the past we've done something called pumpkin Ritas, where they actually use Karo syrup on the rim of the glass with some crystallized sugar, and that kind of acts like the pie crust.
Uh-huh.
And then they put the dollop of whipped cream in the beer as well, and it's literally pumpkin pie in a glass.
You're killing me.
How's that sound, Shelby?
That sounds amazing. Something like I don't even want to wait for though. I love warm weather. It's my favorite weather, but that just like brings me a fall. I love that.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in. Nice to hear from you.
Good job, Shelby.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Thank you for the tickets. I appreciate it.
Okay. They'll be out in a little bit. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Folks, that's all you have to do is dial 769-9577. 769-9577, and Steve, the brewmeister from Crown Brewery, is here with some tickets from the Brewfest in Crown Point. That'll be in June, and he's got two tickets, which is about an $80 value, but you got to answer the question that Steve has for you. You got a lot of hard questions because we're getting callers here.
Okay, well, I'll have to come up with something, won't I?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you get, like in the food industry, and I'm only bringing these up because people that might want to do breweries and stuff, they don't know exactly everything that's involved. Do you get inspectors that come in too?
We've had the health inspectors come through very occasionally, and they look in the brewery and they said, we're all good. It's the cleanest room in the whole house.
You know what? I can stand by that. I've been there many times. It is I've been to some breweries. It is very spacious and it is very clean.
Oh yeah,
and it doesn't smell like like a fraternity after a
no, it does
a party,
not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, stainless steel cleans up really good and floors scrub up real easy. We've never had an issue where they look at it once and they're just like, yeah, you're good.
So when you go to Crown Brewery, I mean, what's the seating capacity? What's the atmosphere like?
Well, we have a very small bar. It sits about six people. Then we have some tables in there that'll seat about another 25. The best part is on beautiful days when the patio is open, where we're going to be able to sit up to maybe another 100 people outside.
Wow. That sounds really, you know what? And I love the outside atmosphere. That is the best. You know what's funny? When you're outside, I feel like I could eat more and I can drink more.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It feels just very festive and celebratory.
It's the healthy nature of being in the sun.
Exactly.
Nice. Or at night.
Sharon, who do you got?
We have somebody from Hebron this
from
time.
From Hebron. Who do we got?
Lynn.
Lynn, how are you?
Let's get her in. How are you?
Good. Are you ready to answer a really difficult beer question?
An easy one, perhaps.
An easy one, perhaps.
Wait, are you interested in some tickets to the Brewfest?
I am.
All right.
My husband would love it.
He does. Okay. We want you to be in good standing with your husband. So Steve's going to give you a good beer question.
Okay.
You ready?
So we talked about the ingredients a lot. Water, malted barley, hops, and yeast. Which one of those ingredients is actually producing the alcohol?
Whoa. Have you ever took chemistry before?
I did a long time ago.
Start cranking those.
So you got a 1 in 4 chance of getting this right, just because there's only 4 possible answers. So, but if you narrow it down,
right,
which one of these is actually making the alcohol? Would it be the water? No.
Yeah.
No.
What's
no. How about the yeast?
The yeast. I think you're absolutely right on that.
Ready? Ding, 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 ding. So,
yes, the yeast is actually a living organism, a single-celled organism, and it eats sugar as food, and the byproducts of eating sugar as food are alcohol and CO2.
Did you know that, Lynn?
No.
Oh, yes, you did, because you just won 2 tickets to the Crown Brew Fest.
And you took chemistry a long time
ago.
Thank
you so much.
And you know what else? We're going to send you a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery out of Winfield, too.
That's awesome.
You have any other questions for Steve or I?
I do. What are your fruity flavored beers that you're coming out for the summer?
Okay. So
I kind of asked about that earlier.
We have a year round blueberry beer on tap, and that's always on. And I just recently came out with a blood orange IPA. So the citrus of the blood orange acts really good with the citrusy of the hops. And we also have our Flam Rouge Raspberry Wheat, which is a really nice, easy-drinking raspberry wheat.
Chef Steve.
Under 5% alcohol, so you could have many of them and still pronounce your name correctly.
I think you need to make a creme brulee.
I've done creme brulee Java Porters.
You have?
I have, yes.
So, awesome. Lynn, have you ever been to the Crown Brew Fest before?
I have not been to the fest.
Well, Steve says it's really a big spectacle, and it's a really good time.
It's a great way to try a lot of different beers, in moderation, of course.
So we're going to send you some tickets out, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, you know what? Thank you for listening, and I hope to hear from you again.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
What's your opinion on flights?
Flights are a great way, to get a basic idea of what the beer is like. Now, if people don't know what a flight is usually a smaller glass of 4 or 5 different types of beer that you get to pick. Myself, I like to know what a beer tastes like by having a pint of it. Because a sip of something might shock your palate at first.
Right.
But after you have 5 or 6 sips and your palate gets adjusted, then you're like, you really know what that beer tastes like.
And we were talking about that earlier. Tell us about some of the beers you brought. You brought one that put a little heat down my throat there.
I brought one called Tepache Caliente, which is a spicy pineapple beer. We work with Provecho. We do a beer for them. It starts off as a Mexican lager, and then we add pureed pineapple to that beer for them, and they have that on tap at the restaurant. So I says, hey, why don't we do that, but we add a little bit of heat to it. So there's a local spice maker named Intensify in Crown Point, and it's a blend of dried peppers, a proprietary blend.
Uh-huh.
And we added some of that to the Tepache pineapple beer to make it a spicy pineapple Mexican lager.
You know, it's very tasty, and then right at the end, it's like it's a little heat down the back side of your throat.
Yes, and that's one of those beers where if you come to the pub and you say, hey, I want to try that, and you get a small sample, your first sip, you're going to be like, whoa, that's too much.
Right.
But if you get a pint of it, and by the end of that pint, and your palate's adjusted, you're going to say, hey, that was really good. I want another one.
What great suggestive selling, like add-on sales there. Instead of a little bit, just get a whole pint and then go for the gallon.
And it's very good.
It is.
And
yeah.
It does kind of have an interesting sensation on your throat.
It doesn't it, though?
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Actually.
Well, and you brought another one. And what's unique about this beer, the hops were grown right here in Leroy.
Right, the Crown Point.
And we've had
Leroy.
Them on before.
Yeah, Steve Howe from Howe Farms has a 5-acre hop farm.
Right.
And what he's doing is quite amazing there. His whole organic farm thing is just, it's mind-blowing when you go there, how orderly it is. It's, when you, most people think farm, they're thinking, you know, mud and animals all
like
over
that,
and
folks.
Chaos. And you,
and
go
you can
there
visit
and,
it, too.
Yeah, he has a farm stand that's open every Sunday.
Right.
And everything there is top-notch. So his hops are in this beer. It's Buster the Cat Pale Ale.
I like that one.
And it's, this has a hop called Cashmere in there. And Cashmere lends a really neat, unique flavor to the beer. It's not quite citrusy or piney or resiny or danky like some of them are. It's more of a fruity pear melon kind of flavor. So
I thought that one was tasty.
Yeah.
You offer that now.
Oh, yeah. That's on tap right now. It's probably my favorite on tap.
How many beers you got on tap?
Right now, I think we have 16.
Okay.
And I'm curious about something. And when you put the hops in to make the beer, like, what happens to the hops? Do they break down into a liquid, or do you just get juices out of them and then take out the waste, or what?
So the hops that brewers use are processed for us.
Right. And they're pellets, right?
They're little green pellets that look almost like guinea pig or rabbit food.
Right.
Okay. That's like the concentrated form of the flower of the hop. That way, if I were to add whole dried hops, and there are breweries that do, most notably Sam Adams and maybe Sierra Nevada, but you need a whole separate vessel to strain them out at the end of the brewing process, because they're so light and fluffy, and then they have presses to ram and get every last drop of wort out of them. So it's a big undertaking. So 98% of the breweries around the world are using hops in their pelletized form, and they do. They once you add them to the boiling wort, they break down, and then at the end of the boil, they will settle out to the bottom of the tank, and then that basically gets flushed down the drain.
And what else did you bring? You brought a lager?
I did. I had the Mexican lager, but I also have our Jailhouse Bock.
Oh, that's what it was.
So it's a traditional German-style Bock beer. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've heard it's the bottom of the tank. Have you ever heard us about Bock beer?
Yeah.
People say, that's the bottom of the tank. I don't know. I don't know.
Rumors.
Oh, yeah.
Rumors.
It's one of these old wives' tales or something. I'm like, now I just say, we scrape the tank clean, and that's what you're drinking. Yeah. No, but this is a traditional German spring lager.
Oh.
Most people's grandfathers would be familiar with a Bock beer. Uh-huh. It's a malty beer. It's not hoppy like a pale ale or an India pale ale would be. Very smooth, very crisp, and very malty. So it's got a hint of sweetness, and it's quite delicious.
It's like at a milky kind of consistency.
Not really. No, it's thin. It's thin. It's not like a heavy-bodied beer. Right.
I had an oatmeal stout last night, a little in a flight.
Okay,
and it was very good.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was kind of thick and sweet.
Well, certain styles of beer will seem like that, especially depending on how they're gassed, if they're on nitrogen or a CO2 as well.
Mm. Well, we're down to our last 15. Steve, that went very fast. We're down to our last 15 minutes, and if you want to give us a call at 769-9577.
You are listening to Let's Eat with Chef Nick. Thanks for listening. Give Chef Nick a call at 219-769-9577 to take part in the conversation or ask a question, and you could win a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield, or you could win a prize from one of his guests. 219-769-9577. That'll get you right to Chef Nick at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
We're back, and we're back with Steve from Crown Brewery, our brewmaster, my favorite brewmaster in the area. And what he has is tickets to the Crown Brew Fest. You want to tell him about the tickets?
Sure. These are general admission tickets.
Yeah, go ahead.
General admission is at 2:30 to 6 o'clock, Saturday, June 15th, which is Father's Day weekend. You're going to get to sample hundreds of different beers from over 50 different breweries from the area. There's going to be 7 local food vendors there as well. And we're expecting around 2,500 people, which sounds like a lot at first, but we spread them out, and it's going to be great weather, as it always is.
Yeah.
And we're going to be in 2 different buildings. We've streamlined our operations, and it's a great way to try a bunch of different beers all at once.
And the way you can get these tickets, and Steve's giving out a pair of them, it's about $80 for the pair of tickets. You call in, and Steve will ask you a question about beer. You answer it. You get 2 tickets. And Steve's, he grades on a curve.
Yeah.
A big curve. He makes it kind of enjoyable. And Sharon actually got somebody on the line. Who you got, Sharon?
Oh, yeah. We have another Crown Point resident, Jill.
Jill, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine. We're doing really good.
Good.
You ready to answer a beer question?
I'm going to try my hardest.
Okay, now you just sit there and relax now. Ready? Go.
Okay, so if you were listening already, do you know where we source our water from?
Lake Michigan.
There you go. Yay! All right. You know, Lake Michigan is some of the best brewing water in the world.
Oh, not just drink, just brewing.
Because it has the perfect mineral content. And that's when the German immigrants were settling into the West, which is now the Midwest.
Right.
They were flocked around the Great Lakes for the reason because that water was better than the source of water from their homeland. So that's why so many breweries opened up in Milwaukee and Detroit and Cleveland. Cleveland's on the lake?
Yeah, it's on Lake Erie.
Yeah. So it's wonderful, and we're super lucky in Crown Point to have that source of water.
So, Jill, do you visit Crown Brewery?
Oh, yeah. I've been there a couple times, and I sometimes get growlers from there.
Growlers.
Yeah, we sell growlers to go, which are 64-ounce jugs that they fill right from the tap, and then you keep them cold and drink them at your will, and it's a great way to take fresh beer home.
Now, what's your favorite brew?
I like stouts. Stouts are probably my favorite.
Good.
So who are you going to take with you to the Crown Brew Fest?
My husband.
Your husband? Have you ever been there?
We have not.
Well, now Steve just gave you some entertainment for the day.
There you go.
Thank you.
Well,
I have a question.
Great.
If you don't mind answering.
Sure.
You usually get like brew kits from Midwest Brew Supplies.
Okay.
But I've been also thinking about adding like fruit or maybe like scotch or whiskey to like a brew that we do. When is a good time to add that to the brewing process?
Great question.
I would say post fermentation. So after your beer is done fermenting and right before you bottle it, because I'm assuming you're bottling your beer.
Yep,
I would do it right before you bottle it. If it's fruit, I would let it sit on the fruit for maybe a week or two.
Okay.
And if you're fortifying it with some whiskey, perhaps, to get a little bit of that flavor, don't use a lot. And that would pretty much be instantaneous. You could pour a little bit in right before you bottle it. But if you're gonna do fruit, I would do it. Let the beer sit on the fruit for a couple weeks before you bottle it.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in, Jill.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Hear from you again. Okay.
Okay. Bye.
I was wondering if you could take us through like the steps in a layman's terms, you know, bullet points version of from start to end.
Sure. So what you need, of course, is a source of quality water, which we're lucky to have. Then you're going to take crushed malted barley. Malted barley is regular barley that's gone through a process called malting, where they actually soak the kernels of barley in water until a rootlet develops. So it's beginning to sprout.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as that happens, they dry it out by taking it through temperature to remove its moisture content. What this does is that triggers enzymes that we need for the brewing process. So then we have to run that through a malt mill to crack that husk open, and we add 160 degree or so water to that malted barley, where that's making mash.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in the mid 150 degree temperature range is the starches break down into fermentable sugars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then we take that liquid and send it to a boil kettle where we're going to boil the wort for about an hour or 2 hours. And then we're putting hops in there. Hops are a natural flower of a creeping vine. And those add bitterness, flavor, and aroma to the beer, depending on what kind you're adding and when you're adding them to the boil. So after that's done, we turn the heat off, and we have to cool that from about 212 down to about 60 or 70 degrees to put into a fermentation tank where yeast is added. The yeast is then in a sugar-rich environment, and yeast eats sugar as food, and is producing alcohol and CO2. So fermentation usually takes 4 to 7 days, typically, for an ale, maybe a little bit longer for a lager.
So it sits there for 4 to 7 days.
And then you're going to cold age that beer at about 33 degrees for 2 to 4 weeks, where the beer is then carbonated and put on tap and ready to go.
Nice.
That's the two-minute description.
That's a very good description.
That was very good. Yeah. You got notes?
They
got a bathtub in this radio station?
No,
Memorex.
You don't need a bathtub?
No, we don't need a bathtub. Everything's done in stainless steel these days.
Beautiful.
I was just, you get in a lot of these folks. We only got 10 minutes if you want to get these tickets to Crown Brew Fest. Steve's got two more sets of tickets, 769-9577. Give us a call in.
Do you guys have any video on your website that shows you in action making this stuff?
I don't think there is, but I'm sure people have done enough videos of me over the years that there's something floating around out there. I know there is.
So, you know, we've been getting these questions about fruit in the beer. Are people starting to really want a fruitier,
Well, it's
sweeter?
The change of seasons, for sure. Yeah, that's, you know, we're coming out with our lighter styles and our more summer offerings.
Can you make a beer that tastes like wild cherry?
Sure.
Really?
Absolutely, sure. You know, there's many different flavorings out on the market. If you don't do it right, the beer's going to end up tasting like cough medicine.
Oh, really?
And that's never a good thing. Well, there's enough of those on the market already that just aren't working.
And I'm looking at this as a cook's or a chef's view, okay? She's saying add a little whiskey, a little this, a little that. Now, when we do that with soups and stuff, we can get it to break where it'll separate. Does that ever happen with beer where you look at a bottle and there's water on the bottom and the stuff is on the top?
Not
because
necessarily.
You've added some liquor to it or some fruits to it or anything like that?
I mean, you want it to settle out eventually. Mm-hmm. So that's why a lot of the fermentation tanks are cone-shaped at the bottom. So mm-hmm. there's a nice concentrated place for everything to settle out, and you could draw that off and still save all the beer. But you want some mixing going on as well. So I know there's even tanks that have impellers and things to get proper mixing. But as far as fruit, natural is more the way to go than some of these flavorings that are offered. We've had really good success with purees, aseptic purees.
How about some prune puree?
Yeah, I had prune to beers before, or plum. We've done raspberry,
really?
We've done cherry, we've
so
done
it has,
blood orange.
It has two uses.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, Linda, how are you doing?
Hey. She's
calling in the nick of time.
I am good. How are you?
You called, like Sharon just said, you called in just in the nick of time. We only got about 8 minutes left of this show. That this is going too quick. So Steve's got a question for you, a beer question. And if you answer it, you get two tickets to the Brewfest. What do you got for us, Steve?
Okay. Well, were you listening about the beer description a little bit ago, how it's done?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
I wasn't from the beginning of the show, but...
Oh, that's all right.
We just talked about it.
So we've been kind of doing the questions about ingredients. Hops are one of the four ingredients, and I add them to the boil for three different things. If you could name one of those three different things why I add hops.
For three different things?
Just one reason why he adds hops to the boil. Why is hops added to beer?
Do you like hoppy beers at all?
Do I like beers?
Do you like hoppy beers?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what's one of the things you notice about hoppy beers? Do they smell good?
Yes, they do.
So that might be one of the reasons.
So is maybe one of the reasons is smell, aroma?
There you go.
Linda?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you just won!
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the reasons?
Yes. You're too easy of a teacher, Steve.
That's the reason.
That is when it would. What were the reasons?
Well, hops are added to the boil of the wort for balancing bitterness and for balancing sweetness by adding bitterness, aroma, and flavor.
That okay?
Oh, okay.
Do you have any questions for Steve or I?
I don't think so.
Okay. You ready for the Brewfest? Can you wait till June?
June 15th. Crown Beer Fest.
Well, actually, I'm going to have my husband and my father go.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. So it's a nice little Father's Day present.
That's a nice present.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to send you out two tickets to the Crown Brew Fest and a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery.
I love Chef Nick's. I live out in Winfield.
Oh, great. Well, we'll see you at the restaurant, too.
And we'll see you at the Beer Fest.
In the Beer Fest. Sounds good, huh?
Or at least your husband.
Yeah, at least your husband,
yeah.
We'll see.
All right.
Well, thanks for calling in.
I'm so excited. I can't believe I got through.
That's great. Thanks for calling in, and call in again, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, we're talking about alcohol and stuff, and people add, like, the whiskey and the bourbon. That's not for to add more alcohol. That's for flavor.
That's, you know, when you're doing it at home, you can do that.
Uh-huh.
Like, we could do, like, a mixed drink at the bar like that, but we can't put whiskey into our beer.
Okay.
If we want to obtain those whiskey-type flavors, we have to do the barrel aging in whiskey barrels, where you're not actually getting product in there as much.
Now, how do you determine alcohol value?
Oh, you'd use a hydrometer.
Uh-huh.
So when I brew a beer, hydrometers measure sugar content. More sugar potentially in the beginning is going to be more potential alcohol in the end. So if I make a very sugar-rich beer, like an Imperial Stout, I want to have a high sugar content and let that ferment. And then I do a reading before and after and do a little math, and it comes up with alcohol content.
How high can you get it?
Oh, I mean, there's so-called beers that are, you know, well over 20%.
Wow.
They don't really end up tasting like beer when you get over
what
maybe 15%.
Because it's too high of
Well, it's just so high. I mean, they're doing things like they're freezing the beers to concentrate them more, or they're using special strains of yeast to ferment all the sugar in it. The most alcohol we do in a beer is something called marble mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old slang term for talking drunk, basically, yeah. Like you have marbles in your mouth. And this is a 17.2% beer that we do, and that's a Belgian sextuple beer. So it's very strong, but it's deceiving. Like it tastes so good, you wouldn't even know it's 17.2%.
Oh, wow.
We're getting down to the last few minutes. There's mm-hmm. more that you do there, though. You do soda pop.
Yeah, we do sodas as well.
And what'd you bring in? And they were good.
Nice.
I brought our house root beer, which is a recipe that I've perfected over the years. It's everybody that has it says it's the best they've ever had.
I thought it was the best I ever had.
And it makes a wonderful black cow or root beer float.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I highly suggest taking a growler home and get your kids all sugared up and let them have fun for a change. I also brought a orange dream soda, which basically tastes like melted dreamsicles. It's highly popular, especially with the under 21 crowd.
It's very good.
Now, how
it's
many different tasty. Sodas do you usually keep on hand?
I try to do two, sometimes three on tap at all time.
So they're on tap.
Oh yeah, they're on tap at the bar, and we'll be doing a classic ginger ale coming up soon too, where we actually are grinding up ginger and boiling it and make a really nice strong ginger ale.
Now, real quick, we're down. Like really I said, good. Last couple minutes. What a great fast show, and I want to thank all the callers.
Too.
All the people out there for calling in. That was really great. You doing any, you guys got entertainment or anything there?
We don't do so much entertainment just because we're not so big.
Yeah.
You know, every once in a while on a beautiful night, they might get somebody to play some acoustic stuff out on the beer patio. But
it's beautiful out there.
I know you got a nice classic building there, but do you guys ever think about, you know, expanding? Because this place is pretty
small. It's really difficult to expand because everything's got to be period appropriate and time specific,
right.
And you know it took a number of years just to hang an unlighted sign on the side of the building. So,
So we're down to the last 2 minutes. Steve, what would you like to say?
I'd like to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Happy Mother's Day, Femi, my mother,
And Rose.
And Rose, and you getting doing anything special for it?
Well, we're gonna have some fun, I'm sure.
That's some fun, I'm sure.
There you go.
Well, you know what? I want to thank Steve from Crown Brewery for coming in and spending a good hour with us here on the radio. And I want to thank everyone for calling in and joining in the conversation and winning these great gift cards to the Crown Brewfest. And, you know, me and Sharon are happy that everyone called in. And we want everyone to have a great weekend. We want everyone to have a great Mother's Day. Anything else you want to add, Sharon?
No, just happy Mother's Day. And all the mothers, thanks for listening to Let's Eat.
Go Cubs
and happy Friday.
It is a great Friday. So everyone, take care out there. Have a great weekend. We'll be visiting you next week on next Friday on Let's Eat. And we're going to have Freshie on, which is a new location on Broadway.
Can you see this, Nick?
Yes.
Yeah, read that.
Oh, I can't see that.
You can't see that? Okay, this is 89.1 Lakeshore Public Radio, WLPR-FM Lowell.
And all I got to say is...
have to do that.
Ciao.